Okay, guys. So, so now I'm on the North American side of the Atlantic. So I get to do Parshat Chukat again. So I'm going to try to continue on an idea that I started talking about last week, and I want to throw out a question to you to think about. Okay, so yesterday what I mentioned is that one of the things that the Torah is worried about in general is ensuring that we remember history in the proper way. And, you know, in the Parsha, Moshe sends messengers to Edom, and he says, please remember that we're brothers, and based on brotherly love between our nations, let us go through your land. And Edom does not. Either because they don't have the historical memory of brotherliness, or they remember the negatives of the brotherly interactions between Yaakov and Esav, whatever the case may be, they utilize history in a negative way, or ignore it, and attack the Jews. And despite that, in Dvarim, the Jews are told that we can't hate Edom, because they are our brother. Where God is telling us that we have to have the proper perspective on history and on relationships based on that history, whether or not anyone else respects that same history, that same memory, that same brotherliness. Now, in our Haftorah, this emphasis on history and its proper perspective takes up the majority of the story. So the protagonist of the story is the Shofet Yiftach. Now, Yiftach is a bit of a questionable character in general. He's quite vengeful against his brothers. He ends up having a civil war against the Jews. Any city that doesn't agree with him, he punishes in quite extreme, often torturous ways. He makes rash promises that anything that comes out of his house, if he wins the war, will go to God, and it turns out to be his daughter, which Chazal criticize him for. So all in all, he's a bit of a problematic character in Tanakh. But at least at the beginning of the story, he does seem to have a very positive and religious view on history. The Jews are fighting Ammon at that time, and the king of Ammon sends to... When Yiftach asks the king of Ammon in Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayishlach Yiftach Malachim Melech Ben Ammon Lemor Mali Valach Givata Elai Lilochem Baretz, he says, why exactly is Ammon coming and fighting the Jews? So Vayomer Melech Ben Ammon El Malach Yiftach Kilakach Yisrael Ratzi Balotomi Mitzrayim Arnon Vareyabok Vareyardin Vatachi Varehen B'Shalom. Says, because many, many, many years ago when the Jews left Mitzrayim, you took our land. You took the land of Ammon, and I want it back. And therefore, I'm going to war. So here you have Ammon invoking historical memory, national historical memory, as a justification for a war. Now, Yiftach has to respond, and he says, Vayosef od Yiftach, Vayishlach malachim el melech b'nei Ammon. Vayomer lo, ko amar Yiftach, lo lakach Yisrael eretz Moav ved eretz b'nei Ammon. We didn't take your land. Ki v'lautam Yitzram, vayilech Yisrael b'midbar, ad yamsuf, v'evo kadesha. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim el melech Edom, lemor ebrana v'artzecha, v'lo shama melech Edom, v'gam el melech Moav shalach, v'lo avav, vayeshev Yisrael b'kadesh. Said, look, when we came, we asked Edom. We asked Moav. In the Radak notes, right, why is he talking about Moab? He's giving the whole story. I mean, we didn't take you, we didn't take the land from Moab, we didn't take from Ammon, we didn't take from Edom, we didn't take from anybody. Or at least not willingly, right? We didn't start this war. And you didn't let us, right, Ammon, Moab, Edom, no one let us through. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim al sichon melachem, ori melech heshbon. Right, we did this to the Emori as well. And Sichon didn't trust us, so they came to war. And God granted us victory over the Emori, and therefore we inherited their land. And now God has driven them out, and you want to take it back, right? So he says, look, right, he invokes several historical points. He said, first of all, we never fought you. To the extent that we have your land, it's because the Emori fought against you first, right? So really, the Emori are the aggressors. And then we beat Emori, but even that war wasn't of our own choice, right? That was a defensive war because we just wanted to pass through and they attacked us, so we had to fight. So point one is, we're not the real aggressor. Point two is, to the extent that we won anything from those people who had already beat you at war, it was because they attacked us, right? We're not the aggressors in this story. Point three is that, by the way, this is from God. Right? This was God's doing, which is either a claim to right, or a claim that there's nothing you can do about it, but presumably it's both, right? It's both a belief that that which God does is just and therefore cannot be undone. Additionally, it's a claim that there's nothing they can do about it, and you see that in Chafei. Vata tov tov vata mi balak men tzipor melech moava rov rava im Yisrael nacham nacham bam. Do you think you're better than Balak? That's going to be, and you think you're going to be able to beat us? Meshevet Yisrael b'cheshmon v'notev arev v'notev v'chol arim ashal yidei arnon shlosh meot shana umado lo yitzalda beira hei. And then he makes another point, and he says, look, right? So point one is, right, it's not really our fault, it was Emori. Second of all, even when we fought Emori, it was a defensive war. Third, God was involved. Fourth, that either gives us the just right to this land, and at any rate, there's nothing you can do about it, because every time someone fought us and God was on our side, they lost. So this is just a lost battle for you, and you should stop before you begin. Point five, he says, and look, this has been 300 years. You want to say that history really bothers you, that this is really a historical claim, that you didn't buy anything that I just said. Then where were you the last 300 years? Right? Clearly, he's calling them out and saying, this really isn't a historical argument. You just don't like us, and you want to pretend to make it sound like this is historical justice. But if you really cared about it, so you should have fought for the last three centuries. Right? The fact that you're coming now means you just want to fight the Jews for expansion, because of expansionism, because of aggression, whatever it is, and you see an opportunity and you want to make yourselves feel better by saying that this is a fulfillment of historical justice, but not because you actually care. And then Chav Zayin, he says, Vanochi lo chatati lach, vata ose iti ra'ali lachem bi, yishbor adonai ha-shofer hayom bein, B'nai Yisrael, v'en b'nai Ammon. Look, we never did anything to you, right? We haven't been aggressors against you, right? If you buy the first five arguments here, so you are really the aggressors. You're on the wrong side of justice here. What did we ever do to you that you are fighting us? And it doesn't work. Pasuk chavched v'lo shama melech b'nai Ammon al divrei Yiftach asher shalach eilav. He didn't listen to what Yiftach said, and Choftet, you get Vatihi al Yiftach Ruach Adonai Vayavor et Gilad v'et Menashe Vayavor et Mitzpah and Mitzpeh Gilad v'mitzpeh Gilad Avar b'nei Ammon. Right, and the Spirit of God fills Yiftach, and he fights them, and he ends up winning, though, as I've mentioned at the beginning, with a bit of problematic things along the way. Now, in this exchange, it sounds like Yiftach has fully understood the extent to which historical memory should be used for positive purposes, right? To prevent aggression, to recognize God's hand in history and the implications of that. And Ammon is the aggressor, the one who doesn't understand history, misuses history, misremembers history, selectively remembers history, doesn't understand God's role in history, uses it as a pretense to do whatever they want anyways. And Yiftach, at least in that sense, comes across as a hero. And here's the question that I have to you, is that I think everything I've just said is basically true, but the question is Yiftach fully sincere in this, or is he just playing politics? And the reason I question it is because the first half of the Perek, when we're introduced to Yiftach as the Shofet, so we see Yiftach being the one who utilizes history and memory of brotherly interactions in a way that justifies vengeance. So the beginning of the parak tells us that Yiftach was strong, but he was Ben Isha Zona Vayol Gilad Yiftach, right? He is the son of an illegitimate wife. And Vatelet Eshet Gilad Lo Banim Vayigdilu Bnei HaIsha Vayagashut Yiftach Vayem Lo Lo Tinchal Beveir Avinu Kiven Isha Acheret Ata. So his brothers drove him out, right? The legitimate brothers of the legitimate sons of his father drove him out and said, you can't inherit with us. And then when Ammon fights, and now the people of Gilad want Yiftach to take over as a leader. Yiftach says to them, "Halo atem sinetim oti v'tigashim ve'ravim. I do avatam elai atak asher tzar lachem. I don't want to help you because where were you when my brothers kicked me out of the house?" And therefore, and there you see that he is invoking this vengeance, right? And he says, look, I am not going to fight on your behalf because I have this memory, right? He is the one who is taking that grudge and holding it through, while at the same time he turns to Amon and says, don't hold a grudge, right? He gives all these legitimate reasons. Now, it may be that he had a more legitimate claim, and that's where it gets a bit tricky. I mean, it's true that the Anshei Gilad stood by while his brothers denied him a place in the family. That is true, but here you see him being vindictive in his use of historical memory, and that theme continues throughout the story of Yiftach, where all the people, as I said, who don't help him, right, he punishes them in cruel ways. And the Ephraim who challenge him on his Ephraim who challenge him on why he didn't utilize their I'm misremembering some of the Gideon's the one who tortures some of the people, but he kills the people from Ephraim for challenging him and carries out the civil war against them to the point where, you know, he has people set up. Soldiers set up at the border crossings, testing all the people and saying, you know, can you pronounce Shibboleth right? Because the people from Ephraim couldn't pronounce the Shin. They said Shibboleth. Right? And he takes this one slight that they, you know, challenged him and said, you know, why don't you call us to war? And that becomes his justification for annihilating the entire tribe of Ephraim. So you see that both the beginning, where he holds this grudge against the people of Gilad, and that's his reason for not wanting to help them. And at the end, where, you know, a single slight from Bnei Ephraim leads him to carry out civil war and basically genocide of Shevet Ephraim, you do wonder how sincere he is. I mean, he is, at some level, I think, sincere in the middle, where he invokes these historical arguments, But the question I would leave you with is do you get the picture that Yiftach is in fact sincere in that moment? And yes, he has his own personal flaws as well. Or does the fact that he also holds these grudges and remembers things and holds on to things as a justification for doing the wrong thing, does that call into question the legitimacy and the honesty of his claims with Bnei Amon? So I'll throw that question out to you. Most of the Dvar Torah stands alone, but that's the one thing that I'm not 100% sure on that I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.